This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
This is Leckie and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
Wait, you rented a saw while we were out?
Yeah, dude.
You went and rented a saw from Home Depot? Can I rent a saw?
They have a tool rental facility.
What'd you do? What were you sawing?
So, a few weeks ago, like a month ago.
This Eagles conversation can wait. You rented a saw over the 2 weeks we were off?
Yeah, so hi everybody, we're back.
Man, you're manly. Look at how manly you are. Look at your hands.
No, I think if I was
manly. Those look like some working hands.
If I was manly, I would have owned the saw, right?
Well, I mean, at least you could have outsourced it.
I bet you Pat had a saw. I bet your
dad has a saw. My dad has many saws.
We were
garage full of saws.
We were taking out the garbage, my wife and I, and we found in the alley, because it's Chicago, you find stuff in the alley. And we found an old record player that had like the record on the inside and like the dial radio.
It's called trash.
It's not. It's only trash if you don't know how to use it. So basically what we did is I took the record player out. It was a poop knife.
Thank you, Waddle. Good night, Waddle.
I put my record, my turntable in where the old one was, and then rented a reciprocator saw and had to cut out the wooden part that was holding up the speaker because the speakers don't work. So I took out the speakers, I took out all the electrical stuff, and now we have a new record cabinet. And it's old-timey looking. It's got like the dial radio on it. It doesn't work, but it looks like it does.
So you can't listen to Black and Abdallah 6 to 8 on it?
Well, I mean, I could plug my phone into the speaker because I put my speakers in it and then put my records at the bottom and then... Okay. So, yeah, it looks cool.
All right. We have a lot to get to here on the show tonight. The Bears lose to the Packers last night, but they still get into the playoffs. And we want to talk to you at 312-332-3776. What do you want from this Chicago Bears team? Like, as a Bears fan, what do you want from this team? Right? Because if you say at the start of the season, I just want them to get to the playoffs, well, you got that. If you want them to get to the Super Bowl, you're probably not going to get that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are you someone who is concerned about the future? So we're going to talk about the Chicago Bears. And you told Sylvie, now we have a tease to this program 2 minutes before this show starts at 5:58. And you told him that we were going to talk Eagles to start the show. We're not talking Eagles to start the show. Why would you do that? Why would you mislead our listeners suggesting that we are going to talk about the Eagles giving up the travesty that it was? The idea that they tanked the fourth quarter for a draft position against the Washington football team yesterday. Why would you tell people, why would you tell Sylvie that that's how we're starting our show?
Because it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Look what you did.
It's ridiculous. Now, it's un-American. I think it needs to be addressed.
We have Bears conversation to get to, but now Tom in Plainfield wants to talk Eagles.
Welcome.
Tom, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Welcome.
Hey, guys. How can you say it's un-American? It's the most capitalistic move you could possibly make, which is American. You ensured a better future for your team mm-hmm. on a game that meant absolutely nothing to you. Mm-hmm. The Cubs did basically kind of the same situation over years. They brought in, so they traded away good players for potential players down the road, and so that they would end up in last place and gain the first draft pick. And we applauded them for that. So Theo's a genius, and the Eagles are un-American.
Well, I think, Tom, it's either un-American or it's the most American thing ever, because as the Eagles right. went out
well,
and
yeah, approved, Tom just said that.
Yeah, like I'm agreeing with Tom. As as the front office and the owners improved their draft position, they had no regard for the workers on their team, the lower class workers on their team, the people only making hundreds of thousands.
Poor millionaires, yeah.
Those
yes.
poor millionaires yeah. and not the billionaires in the offices. Not
Are
the billionaires in the offices, huh?
Are you more upset at what they did or that none of the ownership in Chicago football has the balls to do that?
Yes, the second one.
All right.
You can say,
you
but I don't think I can say.
Show.
Thanks for the call, Tom. We appreciate it. And so, you know,
I don't Listen. Actually care.
No, I mean, I do. It, like, we'll actually get to it here on the show tonight at some point before 8 o'clock because I do have a thought about it, but I feel like my thought is counter to what is actually going on, the dialogue about it. Like, do I care? No, like, not really. It's the Eagles, and it's the Washington football team. It's a game that I barely watched last night. I was watching NBA hoops. There was a lot of good stuff going on. The Bulls get a victory over the Mavs without Luka Doncic. Come on. I mean, Zach LaVine looked really good yesterday. Kobe White looked good yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, do I really care? No, I don't care. Do I think it's embarrassing for the National Football League? Well, no, because I feel like those people who say that need to consider that there are games where there are not, like, Ben Roethlisberger didn't play. Patrick Mahomes didn't play this week.
Mm-hmm.
Is that...
Would you say who played earlier? You said earlier you were looking up Chad Henne played.
Well, yeah. He started for the Chiefs yesterday.
Yeah.
Chad Henne.
Yeah.
So it wasn't Patrick Mahomes. Is that against the integrity of the National Football
League? Didn't
because they
for
started
anybody,
quarter.
Though.
Oh, okay. Well, it didn't matter for the Eagles.
Now, I would say that if you're a Steelers fan, and because here's the situation, right? If the Steelers beat the Browns don't get in,
right.
Correct? So now the Steelers have to face the Browns.
Yeah, that's perfect. That's the ultimate karma. If you rest your players, the ultimate karma is you rest your players the final week of the season, you meet that team the following week
it
in the wild card round,
it happened to the Bears.
And then they beat
happened
you.
To the Bears.
That's the perfect
happened
football
Bears,
karma.
Bears-Packers.
FedEx Harold in Skokie. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Harold?
Happy New Year, guys.
Happy
Welcome
New
back.
Year to you.
Thank you, man.
Not going to lie, man. I'm a diehard Eagles fan, and to be honest with you, man, like, it's tanking. I'm sorry to say that. Like, you want to finish the season at least, like, strong. You know, these guys have been in the losing streak. It's so bad. You know, like, even with the quarterback situation, and, yeah, let's be realistic. Why would you take out Jalen Hurts? You know, at least he should have finished strong with the season. But I'm not going to lie. As an Eagles fan, I'm pissed. I want Doug Peterson out of Philly like any other fan because I'm tired, you know, and I'm not going to lie. It's tanking, you know. And as far as for your Bears, I'm not going to lie. Like, I want to see the defense step up. That linebacker situation, like watching the Green Bay Packers yesterday, just giving up mad points to Devontae Adams, and the safeties need to step up, man. But other than that, want to hear your thoughts.
But,
and again, Happy New Year. Welcome back, guys.
But Harold, if you're an Eagles fan and you weren't going to make the playoffs, don't you want the better draft pick? You have the sixth pick in the draft now as opposed to whatever you would have had.
So here's the thing. My situation is like, yeah, we got the sixth round pick, but either way, like, if I'm a player, I want to finish strong as like and go with a W. I'm not gonna just get a loss or anything like that. I want to finish strong. Draft pick, to be honest with you, like, it's like how I see it. Tom Brady came out as a sixth round pick after your seventh round pick, and look how he's a GOAT now. You know what I'm saying? You just don't know about who's gonna be the best player and who's not. You know. It's Trubisky, you know. People were hyped about him as far as being one of the best quarterbacks out of that draft class. Guess what? You know, so it's like, to me, yeah, I can have it at a sixth round, but again, me personally, I'm a diehard Eagles fan, and at least in the losing streak, you should have won at least that last game. I'm sorry to say that. So I know Giants fans are really pissed off, but, I mean, again, that's just my thought, man.
Thank you for the call, FedEx Harold. We appreciate it. Black and Abdallah here
I'm
on
not
ESPN 1000.
I'm not going to tell fans how to fan. You know, like, if he wants to root for it, that's fine. I want the draft pick, which leads me into my Bears point, Chris. And you asked, what do you want from this Bears team, right? At this point, there are a few things we know are fact. Matt Nagy's coming back, right? I don't think Matt Nagy's getting fired. They made the playoffs. They might win a game. Probably not. But they made the playoffs 2 out of the last 3 years. He's coming back, probably with the rest of the offensive staff. Chuck Pagano, maybe not. He might be let go. He might be the fall guy for this if something happens, if they play poorly against the Saints, if the defense plays poorly against the Saints and they don't win, he might be the sacrificial lamb and Pagano might get fired. Given their draft position, which is no better than 19th, they're probably going to miss out. They're definitely missing out on Fields. They're definitely missing out on Trevor Lawrence. They're probably going to miss out on Trey Lance. They're probably going to miss out on Zach Wilson. Unless they trade up a couple picks, they might miss out on Mac Jones, depending on how the draft goes. We can go through the teams that you know, are going to be looking for a quarterback and whatnot. But odds are, they're not going to be taking a quarterback. So, that would lead one to believe that we know Nick Foles is going to be back on the team, given his contract situation. And probably Trubisky's going to be back for another year, at least, right? that we can safely say those things are true. Right? You agree? So far? So far so good?
Nah, not really, but continue on.
No, I'm just saying, you don't
I'm
think
a, I'm going to let you go first, and then yeah.
So at this,
I'll have a retort.
So at this point,
you really think Trubisky's coming back?
I think he will, yeah.
Continue on.
I don't want him to.
I go ahead.
But I think he will.
The floor is
yours,
sir.
I don't want Nagy to come back.
By all means.
But I think he will. I don't want Ryan Pace to come back. But I think he will. And at this point now, what do you got to lose? Go win some games. Like, I'm not rooting against them. So when you ask, what do you want from the Bears? And I want them to win. Like, I'm not rooting against them because it doesn't do any good to root against them at this point. I'm a Bears fan. I want the Bears to win a playoff game. I want them to win multiple playoff games at this point because the fates are sealed. The fates, we know what's going to happen. Matt Nagy's not going anywhere. The coaching staff isn't going anywhere. Maybe Pagano. Ryan Pace might get a promotion if you read what Brad Biggs is writing. Might get a promotion. And then you might be looking for a new GM. So if that's the case, go win some games. Because maybe if you get a new GM in here, then maybe there's a chance that Trubisky's gone and you say, look, I'd rather deal with the unknown of drafting a quarterback and having him play right away, learning from Nick Foles, all that good stuff, because we know Foles is probably going to be the backup and not going anywhere. And then that's it. So go win some football games.
So here's where I will disagree with you. I think the quarterback position, I think, is still up in the air on how that will kind of settle throughout this offseason into next year. You and I, before this season, we made our predictions here on the show. I thought the Bears would go 7-9.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that they would miss the playoffs. And if that were the case, I thought there could be change. The one thing I've said this entire season, through the ups and the downs, the 6-game losing streak, the 5-1 start, no matter who the quarterback was, Nick Foles or Mitchell Trubisky, I said that if they made the playoffs, I felt as if they would all be safe. I think Matt Nagy will be safe. I think Ryan Pace will be safe. I think they will all be coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Now, based on the way this team's performed to get to the 8-8 and to sneak into the playoffs with the 7th seed, which, by the way, does not sit well with me. And if you're a Bears fan, yeah, you don't want to tell people how to fan. But for me today, it does not sit well with me to sit here and say, yeah, we're a playoff team, but we just got our brains beat in by the Packers.
Are you not American? They got a playoff game.
No, I'm just letting you
know.
Are
you not American? You failed up.
I'm letting you know.
You failed up.
As a Bears fan.
That's the most American thing in the world.
To get beat down by the Packers twice.
Yeah.
Here at the end of the year and in the final week of the season. That does not sit well
with me. You lost and you won, America.
So I'm disgruntled.
No, why?
Okay.
Why?
So when we look at this team going forward, in the playoffs, I do agree with the concept that once you're into the playoffs, yeah, let's go win some football games. Heck, this franchise in the last 30 years does not play a whole heck of a lot of playoff football games. Why don't we win a few? Mm-hmm. That would be nice. I agree. Going forward, though, the only thing I disagree with you is on the quarterback position, how they are going to enter next season, which we'll have time to figure that out. And we know that Nick Foles is under contract. What is scary to me would be heading into this offseason where Trubisky goes on a nice run here in the playoffs. So, like, 2 back-to-back stellar games.
Mm-hmm.
Not this dink and dunk nonsense that everyone wants to talk about. I'm talking about Trubisky goes out there, throws down the field with confidence, mm-hmm. and puts up 30-plus points on a good Saints defense and whoever they face in the following week.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ryan Pace signs him to an extension. That would be my fear, is that you base extending Trubisky off of a 2-game sample size because it's, quote, the playoffs. It's what we saw the Ravens do to a higher level with Joe Flacco, which we knew Joe Flacco was never the guy worthy of the contract that he was signed to, but he led the Ravens to a Super Bowl. So they paid the guy, and that's just kind of how it went. I don't want the Bears to make that mistake, but I do think everyone is safe going forward because they made the playoffs.
I agree. I think that it depends. I would hope that the front office, and that being Ryan Pace, whoever they bring in, if he gets promoted and Ted Phillips leaves and he gets the president's job and then, you know, you bring in a new GM, I would hope that they would look at the body of work at Trubisky and even look at the game against the Packers and look at the last few games and just say, look, this is not a sustainable offense. Yeah, you can beat up on the bottom of the barrel defenses, but when it comes to, I mean, and look, let's be honest, Green Bay's defense isn't that great. The final DVOA rankings for the year just came out. Just came out. Fresh off the presses. Green Bay, 17th. And they couldn't, they struggled to move the ball.
16 points yesterday.
Exactly. So now you're facing a New Orleans team who's ranked 2nd in defensive DVOA. I would say it's probably not going to go that well, and I would hope that they would go with the unknown rather than what we know from Trubisky.
Bears fans, 312-332-3776. Talk football with us. What do you want from this Bears team? Did you just want them to make the playoffs? You want them to beat the Packers each and every year? Do you want both? Do you want a Super Bowl contender? Do you want change? Do you wish this team missed the playoffs so you would get change? Your thoughts next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Break. It's Black and Abdallah. Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't.
The mic just break too.
Tyler producing the show. Tyler, as we were coming back, I asked Chris. Chris was telling me about his sister, and his sister's pregnant. Yep. Congratulations, Uncle Black.
Congrats.
Yeah.
And I said, how far along is she? And he goes, I don't know, 10 and a half months?
No, I meant to... That's fine. We're going to Alan Elgin.
Al, how long does it take a baby to gestate?
Yeah.
I'm thinking 9 months.
Yep, that's usually how long it takes.
Yep. I could explain to you both what I was thinking, but fine, be like that. Go ahead, Al. Al, welcome to the program.
Appreciate it, guys. Love the show. Congratulations on the new setup and everything.
Thanks,
thank you.
To answer your guys' question, why not just be a great contending team year in and year out, regardless of beating the Packers or not? And to follow up on it, what's the possibility of getting Stafford in the offseason? Because I'm in agreement with Black. I don't think Trubisky's back. But why not get a setup and get Stafford, also go into the draft, pick somebody, groom them, because this could really set up the future for them. I'll hang up now. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for your call, Al. And I'm a big Matthew Stafford fan. I think in the right situation, we could have the conversation about Stafford being a top 10 quarterback if he was in the right situation. You know, clearly the Detroit Lions have been a disaster under Matt Patricia. They were a little bit better under Jim Caldwell, and he had a chance then. He has the potential to be that good. So if you had Matthew Stafford, I would feel comfortable as a Bears fan heading into a season if that was my quarterback. I like Matthew Stafford.
I love Matthew Stafford, but we have to, and Bears fans and Al, you have to understand the situation. The Bears have no money. The Bears don't have enough money for Matthew Stafford. They don't have enough money for Dak Prescott. They don't have enough money for any of these players because Ryan Pace has paid so many players so much money. You know what would be great? Not paying Jimmy Graham and having some money. Not paying Nick Foles that much money for him to be bad for a few starts. You know, like not pay. I know Robert Quinn hasn't showed up at all, and you gave him a ton of money, making Eddie Jackson one of the highest paid safeties in the league. You can't do that. You can't do it. And at the time, yeah, maybe it was a decent contract, but they look bad now. Like, these contracts all look bad now because of the moves you made. And to, like, you signed Jimmy Graham, and then you drafted a quarterback, and you drafted a tight end. So which direction are you going in? And because of these bad moves, they don't have any money. They don't even have enough money to franchise their own wide receiver. Al Robinson is going to be on another team. So you can't, I would love Matthew Stafford. Would love any of these guys.
Sure.
But you can't pay them. You don't have any money. And the cap is going to drop to about $175 million this year or next year. You can't afford to pay them.
Let's go to Sean in Cedar Lakes. Sean, you're on ESPN 1000.
Yeah, what's going on, guys? My comment or thought, I guess, is just I don't understand what everybody's kind of complaining about. I mean, I understand I'm not happy with the 8-8 record, and Pace is an idiot, and Nagy's not really too far behind him, honestly. But, you know, I mean, what are we complaining about with 2 out of 3? I know it's not pretty, but for a city that's so playoffs in damn near every sport, I'm not really sure. I mean, you know what they say, any given Sunday, I never know what could happen. Maybe we go on a heater like the Eagles did in 17, or, I mean, it's happened plenty of times before. I mean, look at one of the AFC teams, 10-6. They didn't even make the playoffs. The year that Lovey was fired, we went 10-6. Didn't even make the playoffs. I'd rather go 8-8, make the playoffs, than be 10-6 and sitting outside in the same, you know, in a worse situation. I don't know. That's just my thoughts, though.
Yeah, Sean, to push back on that, I think why people look at 8-8 and getting into the playoffs with a negative thought and maybe that pit in your stomach looking at this team going forward and suggests that, you know, that you didn't really beat anybody. You beat Tampa Bay 20-19 in week 5 of the season. You were 5-1 at that point. That was nice. But really, at the end of the season here, from week 7 on, you beat bad teams. So you're JV All-Stars. That's mm-hmm. that's what you are. You're not, and I know, all it matters is to get into the dance. But unfortunately, the wild card teams are not winning Super Bowls. Well, and I think that group, that pairing of who gets the Super Bowls in the recent history has been actually even more narrow than what we were led to believe with parity of the National Football League. It's like number 1 and 2 seeds get to the Super Bowl. Number 1 and 2 seeds win the Super Bowl. So, you know, when you beat up on the Lions and the Texans and the Vikings and the Jags, and really you're not doing anything against teams worth a damn, that's why you look at 8-8 and you get into the playoffs and you say, this team's not very good.
Well, here's the problem. They're 8-8 and they made the playoffs because of expansion. They made the playoffs because this is the year they decided to add another play. And we joked at the beginning of the season, look, what'll happen is most likely they'll be 8-8 and they'll make the playoffs because there's an extra team. And that's what happened. This is a lot like, and it's not because of the pandemic, but it's a lot like what the NHL did, where the Blackhawks got into that invitational. And then, oh, when they actually made the actual playoffs, they lost in the first round because that's what happens. And you're facing one of the best teams in the NFL in the Saints. And you're probably going to – there's a reason they're a 9.5-point favorite or underdog. The Saints are a 9.5-point favorite because the Bears, they watch the game. I mean, look, the Bears, they just don't look like a team that can compete and win a Super Bowl. So, yeah, they're in the playoffs 2 out of the last 3 years, but this doesn't feel like a team that can go out and win a Super Bowl. So just saying they made the playoffs and bring everybody back because they made the playoffs is most likely what they're going to do, but doesn't mean it's the right thing to do.
We joked about it before the season that it would probably come down to Los Angeles, the Rams, uh-huh. the Bears, uh-huh. the Vikings, and the Cardinals, that those would be the teams all fighting for those last couple of playoff spots, and that's what it really came down to. Vince and Roselle, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, how's it going, guys? I just wanted to put this out there. As a Chicago Bear fan, in order to beat the Packers in the future consistently, not just one season, we should want the Bears to lose, and here's why. This upcoming Sunday, if they do win, they bring back Trubisky and they bring back Ryan Pace for at minimum 1 year, and that's not going to get it done. Trubisky, as much as I rooted for him, he's a game manager at this point, and he struggles at that at times, and I feel like he's one of the bottom tier quarterbacks in the NFL. And a caller referenced Matt Stafford. And I think at this point we need to draft a quarterback and develop one in order to really succeed in the future.
That's a good point, Vince. Appreciate the phone call. 312-332-3776. Draft and develop. We definitely need to do that. Mm-hmm. The fact that Ryan Pace has only drafted Mitchell Trubisky and really no other viable quarterbacks as the general manager of this team, that's malpractice, to be honest. Without having a franchise quarterback, how else do you expect to fix the position if you're not drafting at that position?
Well, and now with their draft position, they're probably better off taking an offensive lineman at that spot, at wherever they are, 19, 20, 21, wherever they end up. They're probably better off just because of what the talent is going to be. Teams are going to move up for quarterbacks. I mean, you saw Justin Fields and how he performed. He's going to go top 2. Trevor Lawrence is probably going to go number 1. Teams are going to go up for Zach Wilson. People are going to go up for Trey Lance. You know, you could see, I saw a mock draft before these final rounds of bowl games and the final week of the NFL season that had 5 quarterbacks taken in the top 10. So that means they're all gone, essentially.
Five quarterbacks are not going to go in the top 10.
Dude, I mean,
well, who's your mock? Source your mock.
It was.
We're going to answer mock season.
We are entering mock season.
Give us a source. It was, what kind of source you got there? Is that a Kuiper? Is that a McShay?
No. It was
a Walter football. What do you got?
No. It was
a little Tankathon. What do you have over there?
Who's the guy we have?
Don't
on...
Don't give me a CBS Sports line.
No. It was our friends at the. Our friends at the Draft Network.
Oh, okay. All right, Draft Network.
All right. So yeah,
Kyle Krabs, perhaps.
Yeah, it was somebody from the Draft Network.
Jordan Reed.
It might have been Jordan Reed.
Big fan of the Draft Network. I just wanted to make sure you source your mock.
It was the Draft Network. I know that. I can't. The whoever it was escapes me, but it was the Draft Network.
All right. And everyone in the Twitch feed, ESPN 1000 Chicago. Listen,
I
know.
What do we got?
It's 9 months for a baby. I get that. I was thinking something else, and I said words to Abdallah, and he brought that to the air. I did not think my sister was going to be pregnant for over 10 months. That's not what I was saying. You took something out of context onto the airwaves. That's what you just said.
You said we were going to hang out with my sister and my brother-in-law on New Year's. We didn't. Because
here's
she's
what
pregnant.
I thought.
And I said, oh, that's how far. I mean, I knew she was pregnant, but I don't remember
she's a lot
when you
pregnant.
Told me how far along is she.
She's, and you said,
I don't know, 10 and a half months.
No,
and I went, I meant to say. That is a late baby.
In my head. Do you want to hear how the mind mapping of my demented head worked?
That is a late baby.
I was thinking, like, almost there, and I thought a year, almost there, 10 and a half, but really 9 and a half. I don't know.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
This is Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
Chris Black, I'm Abdallah here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Download the app in the App Store on your iPhone or on your Android device. Also, download the Black and Abdallah podcast right there on the ESPN Chicago app. I want to talk to you about the last time the Bears and the Saints played earlier this season, Week 8. The Bears lost that football game, but it was close. I want to ask you about that game in just a second, but first, here's Kevin in Decatur. He's on ESPN 1000. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, good evening, guys. How are you? Enjoy listening to your show.
Good, man. What's going on?
So I got a question. So, you know, and this may be a little superficial, but since 2006, what would you guys grade overall the Bears draft class? And what I'm getting at is, you know, it's easy, and by no means am I standing up for pace, but it's easy to blame the GM and all the upper management for the Bears draft picks. But how does a guy like Mark Sadowski, who is the director of college scouting, still have a job with the Bears since 2006? Have our draft classes been that great? And he's gone through Lovey, I believe, and then it was Trestman, and then Fox, and he's still employed. Like, have our drafts been that good?
Well, Kevin, it's not necessarily sometimes about that. I mean, I'll cross sport it and say, look at how many coaches the Bulls went through, yet Gar Forman was still GM/scout and then moved around and then did all the, you know, had like 8 different jobs before he was finally let go. So when Ted Phillips is the president and McCaskey is the CEO, owner, whatever, and he trusts these guys, they're going to keep their job regardless, because even if a new GM comes in and says, I want these scouts, they're going to say, okay, but you have to keep this guy. And you're not going to say, well, then I don't want the job. You're going to take the job because there are only, you know, 32 of these in the NFL. So you're going to take the job. And if they tell you have to keep a scout, you have to keep a scout. It's just who these guys trust. It's just, you know, they're friends and they just trust these guys. And I wouldn't say their drafts have been horrible. Otherwise, they wouldn't be, you know, they'd be the Jags. They'd be bottom of the barrel. They're still a 500 team. They still had success. So I wouldn't say they've been awful. They just haven't been great.
Oh, well, I appreciate the input. I was just kind of kicking that around the other day, looking a little bit deeper than just, you know, surface Ryan Pace, right? You know, ultimately,
no, it's a good question.
I guess it does fall on Pace, you know. But, you know, we have to talk about change. Well,
since 2006, I feel like we've been the most mediocre franchise in all of the NFL, you know, or we're just average, you know. So what, we've changed GMs, we've changed head coaches, maybe change up in scouting. I don't know. I just thought I'd throw it out there for a little topic of conversation. I appreciate your guys' time.
Yeah, no, absolutely, Kevin. And I think it's a valid point. And Kevin, you know, here's the way I would, without knowing the answer, this would be my best guess. My best guess is that when guys get GM gigs, they come into town and they say, well, who do we have here? And then they're told, you know, kind of like what you're saying, guys who are familiar with the organization, they're like, oh, well, he does this. This guy does that. He's a national scout over here. And like all that is funneling information mm-hmm. towards people to make decisions. So like I get Kevin's point in saying, well, who's our director of college scouting? Oh, it's Mark Sadowski. Oh, why has this guy been here for a long time? I would guess, my personal guess without having any information on this would be because that individual is just curating information and sending it up to your GM or to your football ops people. And those are the people making the decisions on organizing, putting together a roster. So like, I get the point. I also don't know how big of a deal it would be to swap that guy out with someone else who's a director of college scouting at a different organization.
Well,
does that make sense?
Yeah, and here's the problem.
I could be totally wrong on that. I'm just guessing that's just how it kind of works. Like, well, I'm guessing that is how it works. Like, I would doubt who's a team that has an open GM gig? Jacksonville, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, do you think every single person within the entire Jacksonville organization, front office, that they're all wiped out?
No.
I would doubt that. I would imagine most of the national scouts, the area scouts, combine scouts, pro scouts. You go to the Bears website here on their front office page, you know, there's like 15 different people who are just scouts. You know, we got pro scouts, area scouts, combine scouts, executive scout. I would imagine a handful of those people, no matter which organization it is, kind of just stick and stay because they do a decent job and they follow the commands of those who are running the organization.
And as Kevin was saying, he thinks it runs deeper than the GM or Ted Phillips. But the problem is it doesn't, because the GM got the most important decision in football wrong on his own. He didn't use any information from his scouts. He didn't use anybody else's input. He went, saw Trubisky, fell in love with Trubisky, picked Trubisky. He went rogue. He didn't use any information. He didn't tell his scouts who he was going with. He didn't even tell his head coach who he was going to pick. And this Bears Monday is brought to you by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Acura dealers.
Well, I think with this whole conversation might actually make it all easier to understand if Ryan Pace could blame a scout.
Yeah.
Oh, like, the East scout over there, the guy covering North Carolina.
Yeah.
Oh, man, he really talked up this Trubisky. Wow, did I blame all of this on Johnny Scout, who's out there combing for quarterbacks, looking at all the film tape, and he's the one that led me astray. No, it was Ryan Pace. Ryan Pace went rogue.
Absolutely, and that's the
problem. So it goes back to Pace.
It does. It's 100% on Pace, because we know for a fact that he didn't listen to people, that he went out on his own and got the most important, which is why I don't understand why he would A, get a promotion, or B, still be around if you're going to make changes. You can't just, I still believe you can't just change one of these guys. Like who is Ryan Pace going to hire if he's moved up to president to be GM? Is he going to hire another Ryan Pace? What if his Ryan Pace pulls a Ryan Pace? What if his Ryan Pace goes rogue and says, I'm going to do this, and this is what I do? How would Ryan Pace feel about his Ryan Pace pulling a Ryan Pace?
So you're suggesting that these individuals, these Ryan Paces, that this is more of a lifestyle decision. This is a way of life for them. You know, they're on the road. They're going rogue because they are not.
They're like Mr. Meeses, Chris. And once you push the box, and you get one of them.
First of all, nobody here at the office, except maybe Tyler understands that reference. Maybe Travis as well. Travis is probably with us as well.
Do you guys
Travis
not watch Rick and Morty?
No. You
is it just me?
You and me.
Watch Rick and Morty?
And Tyler probably
Tyler,
does.
Do you watch
I'm
Rick
guessing
and Morty?
Tyler
no,
does.
I don't watch
it. What do you not go to college?
Well, it's not college basketball, so he's not watching. That's why.
There you go. East Coast Media Elite.
All right, so maybe Travis Wacker and then the two of us are the only ones.
There's people in the Twitch chat. Yes, people in the Twitch chat.
Yes.
Of course there are.
Of course.
Of course there are, because they're on the internet. They're internet people.
The Twitch, they understand the multiverse.
Yeah, that's the demo right there.
Yeah, internet people and stoners. Yes. All right. So my point is that they are Mr.
Explain to people what this is.
You have to start from.
Imagine if Cap is standing here.
Kay.
How would you explain this to Cap? Because Cap is the one that you need to make sure he understands this.
Anyway, so Rick is a scientist that. He can make anything. He can make intergalactic space travel. He can do whatever he wants. He can invent anything. He's the smartest man in the universe. He's omnipresent, essential, all that kind of stuff. Because there's a billion other universes. There's a lot of Ricks. But our Rick has made a box.
So and there's multiple Ricks?
There's multiple Ricks. Right. There's a lot of Ricks. There's a lot of Mortys. Yeah. So when you press the button in this box that he made, it creates a being called a Mr. Meeses. And what a Mr. Meeses does is he has one purpose. A Mr. Meeses pops up and you say, Mr. Meeses, teach me how to play chess.
Right.
He sits down, teaches you how to play chess because there's a chessboard in front of me right now, and then he dies, and that's his goal. He doesn't care about dying. He wants to die. That's his one goal. So my point is that we have a Mr. Meeses already in place. He's going to hire another one of himself to just – so what happens when that guy goes rogue?
Right.
What are we going to do?
Another one will then go rogue.
And then what? We just move him up, and then the next one goes rogue, and then the next one goes rogue? So, I mean, come on.
I don't think...
Hi, I'm Mr. Meeses.
Yeah. No, I don't think if Cap was here, he would understand what you're talking about.
Anyway.
It's a show on TV, Cartoon Network, Rick and Morty. There we go. We got to make sure people understand what's going on. First of all, Tyler could be not... He could not be more disgusted in this nonsense that's going on.
Tyler is way too worried about formulating a take about how the Eagles are a travesty to American sport.
Could you imagine if Greeny heard us talk about Rick and Morty like this?
I think...
In a professional landscape, on a professional broadcast, and you're in a major market, Chicago. We just spent 5 minutes talking about Rick and Morty.
Someone's got to take over the weird slot, don't they?
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
I'd like you to meet someone who's really special.
It's Black and Abdallah.
A real inspiration.
Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN _ Chicago.
You can always watch the show on Twitch, ESPN 1000 Chicago. We have the best viewers, listeners, people in the Twitch chat who join us throughout the show. How about this comment? New year, new Abdallah. Making great points, not whiny. Hey, there you go. You're making great points today. You're not whiny.
I'll whine.
All right, that's great. I just, there's sometimes you pick out a comment here in the Twitch chat and something good you want to bring to the air. I didn't realize he was going to take a shot at you at the end. I thought it was like, new year, new
I'm
Abdallah,
glad people
what's
got
up?
The Meeseeks reference, too.
I doubt many people did, but I appreciate the Twitchers
three or
that did.
Four of them.
Yeah, no.
We need more conspiracy theories, too, because Denver Bob 420.
Oh, what's up, Bob? Bobo!
Said he'd listen a lot more if we had more conspiracy. I got a lot of conspiracy theories, so we can do this whenever you want to.
Your favorite one is the moon?
No, I think it's the Stevie Wonder one, because fewer people believe that one.
Yeah, because it's stupid.
It's not. I think that Stevie Wonder isn't as blind as he leads us to believe.
Isn't as blind, or he
Look,
isn't blind?
I think
blind.
He has problem seeing. I wear contacts as well. What I'm saying
You're
is
out of your mind.
When he catches a mic stand.
I feel it could be something along the lines like a superhero. You lose a sense. Your other senses are heightened. He could feel that it was falling. Boom. Caught it. Like
He's
this.
He's not Daredevil.
Maybe he is.
No, see, the reason you knew that was like that is because you threw it to yourself. This gets knocked over, and he catches it.
But let me ask you this.
Google YouTube it.
It made no noise?
There were no vibrations on the table?
It was a stage.
There's a band playing.
Yeah.
What do you mean vibrations on the table? They're standing.
You don't think he knows the vibrations and the sounds that are going on around him in the band that he is playing in?
People in the chat, believe me.
All right, so that's your number one is the
That's
Stevie
my
Wonder.
Favorite. It's not my number. I would say it's my favorite.
All right. Any JFK? Grassy Knoll stuff?
Well, I mean, that's
Umbrella
not a conspiracy.
It's, anything you got there?
Probably fact.
Okay. All right. I'm just saying. I mean, there's a lot of conspiracies with that.
I don't think we went to the moon the first time.
Okay, yeah.
This trip to win the space race against the Russians.
Right. So it was a Hollywood backlot?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Stanley Kubrick.
Okay. And that's why the flag didn't move?
Well,
not because
among other things. There's a two moon theory also, the double sun theory.
So where's the second
because
sun?
There's two shadows. Right. So why would you have two suns? Where do we have two suns? East Coast Media Elite. He went to Syracuse. Do we have two suns in our
one
solar
sun.
System?
Just okay. One sun.
Leave Tyler alone.
No, I just want to know where we got the
no,
suns.
No, I know,
from.
But you kind of said that like you're angry at it.
No, he's, I just he
He's our college
to,
basketball
he
expert.
He went to a real school.
He did.
We went to a college.
Hey, they support us.
They do.
Black and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. I mentioned this to you earlier. Week 8 this season, the Bears lose to the Saints, 26-23. Close game into the fourth quarter. Anything that we can take away from the first time these two teams met, because these two teams will face off in wild card weekend coming up on Sunday. Drew Brees went 31 of 41, 280 yards, two touchdowns. Nick Foles went 28 for 41, 272 yards, two touchdowns, and an interception. Nick Foles, many times, especially late in the fourth quarter and in overtime, as this game went to overtime, had trouble getting away from the Saints' pass rush. So, you know, like, I feel like this is where we're going to get into this conversation, where people are going to point to the Bears only lost by 3 to the Saints in Week 8. We got a chance this weekend. And then you're going to get the pushback saying, yeah, but Nick Foles is the one that started that game.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to swing it back the other way and say, he did, but he couldn't escape the pocket. So maybe with Mitch in there, the Bears' offense is actually going to be more successful against the Saints than they were with Nick Foles because he was a statue behind the offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
I watched back some of that game, the fourth quarter in overtime earlier today. And the one thing that I would think with this is different from the logic of thinking that Trubisky in there would make him more mobile, thus they would be more successful against the Saints, is that Nick Foles, when he did have time to throw, was actually throwing downfield. And last night against the Packers, we saw it. Trubisky was dink and dunk. That's all he was doing. He did have the one nice throw down the middle of the field to Mooney. But outside of that, it was sideline stuff within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage. And I don't think that that's going to get it done against the Saints. Whether or not they can keep it close, I think that's the conversation we've got to look at here.
Well, I think there are two things you can look at, right? One, the game plan is going to be completely different. Because not only is the game plan different because Laser / Nagy is calling plays. Can we come up with a cool name for them? Naser or Laggy? Which one do you like better?
You can continue.
Put it on the poll. So Naser or Laggy are calling plays.
Naser or Laggy.
They're calling plays. But also, when Nick Foles was under center, the Bears did not run on first and second down. They were one of the worst teams at not that they couldn't do it. They didn't do it. They were one of the worst. They had the least attempts. One of the least attempts at running it on first and second down when Nick Foles was under center. Once Trubisky got back under center, and even before he was benched, they were top two teams in the NFL when it came to running the ball on first and second down. So the game plan is completely different. I went back and looked at the Week 8 DVOA ratings going into that game, because of course. New Orleans defense was ranked 8th. Their offense was ranked 7th. Right now, their offense is ranked 7th again, but their defense is ranked 2nd in the league right now. And as far as weighted DVOA, which puts more weight on later games in the year, less weight because your team, you know, injuries, all that kind of stuff. You progress as a defense, you get better as an offense, all that kind of stuff. They're 2nd in the NFL in weighted DVOA. So the Saints have only gotten better. I would argue that the Bears on the offense have gotten better, but their defense has not. And if you're not going to have Jalen Johnson again, if you're not going to have Buster Screen again, if you're not going to have Roquan Smith most likely not again, you might not have Darnell Mooney. We don't know what's up with him. So you're going to already have an already depleted defense, which is even more depleted. And then you're going to throw that in with the player who was your most reliable receiver in the Packers game before he got hurt is not going to be there as well against the number two, the second ranked defense in DVOA. I think that it's even less likely that the Bears keep it close.
Montgomery in the first matchup, week 8, he had 21 carries for 89 yards, no touchdowns. He had a long run of 38 yards. He broke up towards the left side of the hash and took it down the field. It was a nice run. And really, you know, 21 carries is not anything to kind of ignore. We were asking all season long for the Bears to run the football more, but really when you look at it in the end, it was Kamara with his 9 receptions for 96 yards that made the difference. He had 12 carries for 67, but Kamara's 9 receptions for 96 yards, that was something that the Bears linebackers struggled to to contain Kamara in those matchups when he would sneak out of the backfield. And you're right, you look at Roquan Smith. If Roquan Smith is out, that's going to be a really difficult thing for the Bears to get over on the defensive side, and Mooney. If Mooney can't play, that's going to affect the offense as well. We're going to continue talking about the NFL coming up in 2 minutes.
Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.